RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
It's Groundhog Day here. Jackson Franz joins us with Joe McKinnon having the weekend off. Joe will be back with us next week. Good morning to you, Jackson.
Good morning, Warren. It's good to be back on.
Listening to Kieran Maher, and obviously the catalogue for the Easter sales is something that a lot of the owners and trainers are having a look at the moment, but the way the sales have been in recent times, being able to afford the lots that you've put a ring around might be the real issue in the few days ahead.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great time of the year across the board. Plenty of great racing. And obviously with the sales, you've got your prospective buyers are out there looking to find the next Merchant Navy, Russian Revolution, Loving Gabby and plenty more.
Absolutely. And we were seeing a number of the graduates of the English sales on course at Rose Hill and even at Caulfield yesterday. So there will be some of those horses to come through that sale. And it is seen as the most prestigious sale on the calendar here in Australia. And no doubt English put a lot of work into trying to get the best lots there. So the way the sales have been, I think we can expect the prices to be high. Whether that's reflected on race day performance down the track, only time will tell.
Yeah, there's 466 really high quality lots, and we welcome in Vicky Leonard, the Managing Director and owner of Thoroughbred Daily News Australia New Zealand and Kick Collective. Good morning, Vicky, how are you?
Morning, Jackson.
Good morning, Vicky.
Well, thank you. Happy Easter.
Obviously an exciting and busy time of the year for yourself, Vicky, with the upcoming stales and stallion fee announcements. But before we move forward, can you offer some background on your journey into the breeding industry and the fantastic things you're doing through Thoroughbred Daily News and Kick Collective?
Absolutely. So I grew up in rural New Zealand. I grew up riding ponies, but not in a family into racing. But I developed a love of the Thoroughbred through a school project on I was supposed to be on a person, but I was allowed to do a horse. So I did my project on Sir Tristram and was invited up to Cambridge Stud to visit when I was conducting my research, and was 10 at the time, and spent an amazing 2 days in the foaling unit and pottering around, brushing 8 Carat and Diamond Lover, which I certainly appreciate probably more now than I did at the time. And it really hooked me on the racing industry. And Sir Patrick said at the time, when you're old enough, come and work for me. So I've been working in the shearing sheds during my school holidays, and I was busting to get back into back up to Cambridge Stud. So when I was 18, I moved. I was at university at the time, and I did my school holidays at Cambridge. Through that, I met a fantastic bloke called Marcus Corbin, who really took me under his wing as far as career development and told me about a scholarship called Dali Flying Star, which is a 2-year journey around the world for sort of eager young racing enthusiasts that have a uni degree. So I was lucky enough to gain a spot on that scholarship, and it's been an incredible 2 years going around England, Ireland, America, you know, Dubai, Australia, and that's where I met John Massara. And I really have quite a passion for industry leadership and looking at ways to improve and grow our sport. It's one that's, you know, certainly facing a lot of social challenges, but it's ones I think we can meet. So John Massara is obviously an incredibly inspiring person and a great visionary and incredible leader. So I harassed him so much that he agreed to employ me if I top flying start. So I had to put my head down, bum up and work hard and got through as top student. So he took me on. So I was at Arrowfield there for 7 years. Worked my way into marketing manager and worked really closely with John, as he was chairman of Racing New South Wales and Racing Australia, which was a period of really monumental change and industry administration here. But I was really lucky to spend that time and learn and grow, you know, through that period. And then after sort of my 7 years, I also did an MBA part-time while I was working at Arrowfield. I decided it was time to branch out on my own. And a couple of areas that I was passionate about, but also saw, you know, for an industry that does have a lot of very smart business people and a lot of wealth, there's a few areas that were particularly unsophisticated in. One is the bloodstock media landscape. 80% of people read it on their mobile phone, and the current offering didn't provide the ability for anybody to engage with the product easily, nor with a decent quality editorial. So we really, that was when, you know, Gary King, who's also a Flying Start graduate, and I decided that we'd set up TDN Australia and New Zealand, and saw a lot of synergies in establishing Kick Collective, which is a marketing company that really focuses on working closely with businesses to help grow not only their business, but do things that really do help put the industry in a better light and a better space, and eventually grow the sport. So we really work closely with clients on quite innovative projects, and also projects that are going to help improve the brand perception of horse racing as a whole.
Yeah.
So I've had TDN and Kick for 2 years now, and we're rolling along.
Yeah, and obviously you do a lot of work with the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott team there on the ground during the sales. But what's a regular sale week or a day look like for yourself, Vicky, and the team at Thoroughbred Daily News and Kick Collective?
So the TDN team are quite busy in the lead up to the sale, covering the different stories around breeders and bloodlines, first season sires with their first offerings heading to a sale. We really focus editorial on telling those stories properly. We look for, lots in the sale that have got pedigree updates that we need to amplify for the certain vendors. And we're also really focused on putting out a high quality print edition during the actual sale days. So the TDN team are really busy during that period. The advertising crew, obviously, are at full throttle. And then at Kick, so we have several vendor clients that we work very closely with. Beamer Thoroughbreds being one of the main ones who we developed the Kick sales platform for, which is aimed to improve transparency around the marketplace. Beamer disclosed everything a buyer could possibly want to know about that horse, whether it's currently on treatment, who actually owns the horse, because believe it or not, it's very hard to find that information out. They offer 360 interactive videos on every horse. Basically, there's a complete plethora of information to give the buyer total confidence in what they're buying. So we're really busy getting, the Waikato Stud also utilised the Kick Sales platform, and they're a major client. We're filming Beamer's Yearling, filming at Twin Hills. So the Kick team are really busy getting that organised, and also getting some advertising sorted for, sale banners in the pavilions and graduates promoted. And then come sort of a couple of days before the sale, we start working a lot with the buyers to tell their story, how they're getting on, what they're looking at. Gay and Adrian are very good at providing client updates. So we'll do some video content with them. And then on the actual sale days, the Kick team are running around pretty busy coordinating content for people like Boomer Bloodstock, Craig Ronsdell, who's one of our first clients that came on board, to do videos to help them then syndicate and on-sale these horses. Star Thoroughbreds is another one we do a lot of work for. Whereas on sale days, our TDN team are glued to the sale ring. They don't really leave that spot. They're busy following every move. And it's sale like Easter. There is just an absolute abundance of quality horses. So Bruno Bryan's the man on the ground on those sale days, and he's really got to keep an eye on what's happening, who the big buyers are, where the money's coming from, and keeping track of a pretty fast-paced auction environment.
Yeah, and from a TDN's perspective, how's this week's sale shaping up across the board for both buyers and vendors?
Oh, it's going to be a strong market. There's no doubt about it. I mean, even though the smaller regional sales have found unprecedented growth this year. So we're really expecting a pretty strong market again. I mean, Easter's the benchmark. It's a funny sale, though. There's not always 100% transactions take place. So Easter's often used because it's such high-profile horses. You find there's a lot of partnerships that are getting dissolved So a filly might go through the ring, and it whilst an owner that was currently involved in the breeding can buy the other partners out. So there's a lot of those types of situations that happened at the Easter sales because the bloodstock is of such an elite quality. So, that's just an added sort of variable for the TDN team to keep on top of. But it's going to be an exciting 2 days, Tuesday, Wednesday. And gosh, I mean, there's the first foal out of Catchy. There's there's just absolute, like, there's a gorgeous capitalist half to exceedance. You literally go from horse to horse, and it's just royalty standing in front of you, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting few days, and obviously we've got the final progeny of the ill-fated Sebring and Redoute's Choice. We'll go through the ring along with a strong schnitzel crop. Can we expect these sires to lead the charge, or is there any other lots that are expected to create great intrigue, like you mentioned before, in relation to the catchy foal going through the ring?
Well, I mean, Redoute's has been an absolute legend. He alone has grossed 15% of the English Easter yearling sale gross since he's been had yearling selling at sale. So, I mean, it's just some years he was 25% of the gross. So just absolutely amazing. But this final crop of his was small, so he only has half a dozen or so going through. There's some lovely horses, and I know Arrowfield have got a couple that are particularly fond of. Sebring, he's probably not quite the sale horse of a Redoute, pure, but he, you know, he's a consistent stallion who's been at the top end of his game, you know, right from the beginning. So, well, you know, it's really sad to see the last of those go through. It also has opened the door for some pretty exciting young stallions. And, you know, this year's first season sire crop has had an absolutely amazing start to stud. They're actually filling currently about, I think it's the first, it's about half a dozen of the top 10 spots in the two-year-old size premiership, which is highly unusual. So, of course, Capitalist is one of the hottest stallions out there at the minute. His barn mates, Extreme Choice, and Flying Artie, so had the Blue Diamond and Golden Slipper winners. And of course, there's not many of those, though, because the thing with the Easter sale, it's a huge dam line that often gets them into the catalogue. So these are young stallions still making their way. But we can expect Capitalist to average particularly well, because he did have probably a higher quality of book. And then you've also got the first season size of their first yearling selling, so they don't have runners yet. And we'll expect to see, you know, some beauties by Russian Revolution, by Merchant Navy. I know there's some lovely pariahs around, and then of course we've got the Shadwell dispersal, which is bringing some progeny onto the market that no one's had families onto the market no one's had access to. So Yarraman have got an exceptional draft of these incredible families.
Yeah, and the breeding sector's been thriving right throughout COVID, and East has always plenty of high offerings of high-quality crops and juveniles. Do we expect to see more sales records and figures to be broken, and what do you put this year's strong figures down to?
I'm not entirely sure if it's going to go crazy at the top end. In fact, in some ways, you kind of hope it doesn't, because, you know, it does set a bit of an unrealistic precedent to go on from. We don't have the international money here. Well, sorry, you might have some of the money, but certainly don't have the people, and they tend not to go as crazy when they're not physically here themselves, falling in love with the horses that they're bidding on. So, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of million-dollar yearlings go through, but what's been pretty awesome, to be honest, for the industry through this whole period has been, while the top end's kicked, it's been driven by a very, very strong middle market. So what we've seen is a sort of the pickup from that 100 grand has rolled into, you know, pushing the people that normally spend 200 grand and having to spend 250 grand, which then pushes the people that normally spend 400 grand and spending 600 grand, which then, you know, pushes it all up the whole way through. And I've put a lot of thought into this. I think, you know, a lot of us have been racking our brains as to why it's picked up, but it's probably no different to any of the other retail sectors that are booming. I mean, you can't buy a Porsche at the moment. You can barely buy a washing machine without having to wait 6 months. And it's just that we do have discretionary income, particularly our industry, which lends itself towards people who tend to travel a lot. And they just can't do it. So if you're at home and you've got a bit of money to spend, you know, this might be the time to spend it on a racehorse. So syndicators have noticed an incredible demand, and that's probably driven the push for, right through, I would say. And it's great to see that it's not just that top end like it has been the last few years. We're, you know, high-profile colts particularly have been in demand. It's actually coming from the bottom, which has seen a lot of smaller breeders have great results too, which is always a lovely thing for the industry because we need them to get, you know, to get young stallions going and to give everyone a fair go.
Yeah, it's great to see our industry continuing on and thriving really. But looking beyond Easter, we've got the stallion fee announcements are quite intimate. What can we expect to see, Vicky? Who are going to be the risers and who should we expect to see fall and score a little bit of a discount on?
I would say, I mean, there's the obvious high performers that have had a massive season. You've got first season sires like, so first season sires with 2-year-olds being Capitalist, as I said, the Newgate trio, Extreme Choice and Flying Artie. You've got, you know, Stallion at Arrowfield, they should all have fee increases. I'm not sure how much. I know that there's a bit of management required to keep book size, you know, not exorbitant. You've got, you know, Frosted at Darley, who's just, you know, he's hit the ground running tremendously. You know, Stern at Darley's had an incredible 6 weeks. You've got, you know, the first season sire results have just been enormous across the board, really. And I think they'll really pick up and start to come through, start to be seen in their fees. In terms of stallions dropping, the biggest movement in service fees tends to be when their prices were hiked up out of showing a bit of early talent, and then they didn't move on that. So you tend to see that happen around the horses with 3 and 4 year olds that just haven't really kicked on a bit, and some of these stallions just need a bit more time. So that's where, you know, a stallion like Real Impact will be, you know, if Tiff Harrifield can bring the Japanese stallions back again, a stallion like Epaulette, you know, these are really stallions that are showing a lot and could just go bang in a season. So that's where there's big money to be made for breeders. And then in the top end, I'm sure Written Tycoon's fee is going to, should near on double. And you know, Sue Star's also, he's also sort of had a season to validate his high fee as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it all. But thanks for your time this morning, Vicky. All the best for the week ahead and good luck on the ground.
Thanks, Jackson.
No worries. And for those of you who are on site in Sydney, make sure to grab yourself a TDN print edition. It's a must read for the latest in breeding and the big stories from yesterday's big day of racing, Warren.
Absolutely, Jackson, and I know you've got a real eye on the breeding scene, in particularly focusing on Caulfield and Rose Hill yesterday. Were there any pedigrees that particularly caught your eye?
Yeah, definitely. We had the lovely Emirates Park filly, Najmati, by I'm Invincible, winning yesterday. She was just fantastic. She dropped out the back and rattled home in a really fast sectionals down the outside of the track, which was good to see for her connections. And she hails from the second dam line of the four-time Group 1 winner, Criterion, and the Group 1 Doom and Cut winner coming through. So we could expect to see her step out over a little bit further in time, which is exciting.
Yeah, good maiden victory. And I was talking to Peter Snowden on course yesterday. It was as much programming as anything else. Couldn't really find an option for her in Sydney. And she's come down here and won a listed race at only her second start and with a pedigree to match. No doubt she'll be a valuable broodmare down the track. What about the Group 1s and anything else that else caught your eye at Rose Hill?
Yeah, so up in Rose Hill, we obviously had Hungry Heart taking out the Vinery Stud Stakes. She's a Frankel filly, so obviously she's going to be quite valuable moving forward. She was a $300,000 Magic Millions purchase by Yulong, so obviously it's a good return on investment for them. And then you had Harmony Rose, who's just a lovely Glass Harmonian filly. Handled the step out to 2,000. She was just only pipped late. And then we had the New Zealand filly by Sacred Falls, Impecunious, working home nicely. So there's a few lovely types there getting the job done in the Vinery Stud Stakes.
Good to see the Cox Plate winner win another Group 1 race and obviously with an international pedigree. But talking to Kieran Maher earlier on, a match-up with Very Elegant and Adaib during the championship. So some good racing and a big challenge ahead for Sir Dragonair.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how he goes, but I think he should just relish that step out to 2,400 metres. But it was good to see yesterday that he's not just a wet tracker. like Dave mentioned, stepping out over further. He doesn't have to get his toe into the ground as much to be as effective. And being by Camelot, he's obviously a very valuable entire now. And back to his second dam line, you've got your superstars and champion sires, See the Stars and Galileo featuring on his pedigree. So it'll be exciting to see the progeny of Sir Dragonet stepping out in the next 5 to 10 years.
Talking to Lizzie Jelfs yesterday, and she was keen to see how Nimmerly would progress on going to the Group 2 yesterday. And it's just a pedigree you wanted to touch on before we let you go.
Yeah, so it was great for Nimmerly. Obviously, I think that was her first attempt at black type level in a Group 2 race, and she was able to get the job done, stepping up from a benchmark 100 victory last start. So it was good to see her improve her pedigree page, and she'd be quite a valuable prospect now with her bloodlines and a Group 2 on her resume as well.
Thanks for jumping into the chair for the last couple of weeks, Jackson. I know you'll be glued to the results as the sales unfold during the week. Look forward to having a chat with us sometime in the future about how the sales have unfolded from your perspective.
Sounds great, Warren. Looking forward to it, and hopefully I can pick up something nice over the next few days. It'll be good.
Yeah, put some pennies away. I'm sure there'll be something there for you, but you'll need to be prudent with your money. Jackson Franz there, talking horses. Joe McKinnon will be back next week.